that Jesus is God, and I say I'm going to do a series, amen, as long as the Lord would have me do it. And so on this Sunday, amen, we are continuing with that title, but we have a subtitle. Amen. Don't drift. Amen. Jesus is God. Don't drift. Jesus is God. Don't drift. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Amen. Don't drift. What you mean, Pastor? Don't drift. That means don't drift away from the truth. Don't drift away from the fact that Jesus is God. Life has a way of making us drift. And I'm going to talk about drifting in a little bit. But don't drift away from the truth that Jesus is God. Amen. Like I told you last Sunday, everything is dependent on Jesus being God. And I'm going to be in Hebrews 2. So we're moving forward in this chapter with the assumption, right? Right, with the assumption, right? I'm operating, I'm preaching. I'm preaching out of the truth that Jesus is God. So I'm moving forward in the second chapter based on that truth. So if Jesus is God, verse 1, right? So we must listen. We must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Amen. So what the author is saying is that if we are not paying attention to what the Lord is saying, that there is a possibility that we will drift away from the truth. We'll start to let the world, or we'll start to let other people convince us that Jesus is not God. We'll let them convince us that his hand is not on us. We'll let things convince us that the struggle is not over. We'll let the world convince us, right, that God is not operating, that he's not real, that he's not working, that he's not moving, that he doesn't have it under control, right? The author is writing this, right? The word is good for correction, for reproof, for teaching. It's good, right? So if the Holy Spirit placed this on the author's heart to write this, it's important. So he's given us all of chapter 1. He's given us all of Hebrews chapter 1. And he starts out chapter 2 by saying, so if we believe what was in chapter 1, we've got to listen very carefully to what God was saying, or we may drift away from it. And so I did a little research on drifting. Drifting, when it comes to ocean tides and waters, it refers to how water masses or marine life, they move or they flow with the current. And these currents are influenced by the tide, the wind, the earth's rotation, the moon. If y'all been in middle school science, y'all know what I'm talking about. The tides, if you've been to the beach or Destin or wherever this summer, you know that the tides, sometimes they high, sometimes they low. They rock back and forth and they move things, seaweed, water, fish, jellyfish, they just flow with the tide. Tides are the regular rise and fall of sea levels, caused mainly by gravitational pull, right? The moon is pulling and it's causing it's causing the tides to flow back and forth. Life is similar to a tide. It'll have you rocking back and forth. As the tide rises, it's called the flood tide. So here I was reading, it helped me understand scriptures like when the enemy comes in like a flood, right? God will raise up a standard. Sometimes the flood, the tide is going to be very high. Like when the tide is very high, that's when there's a possibility that you might drown, right? You might go under. You might get caught up. That's high tide. And then there are times in our life, right, when the tide is low, that's the ebb tide. That's when the water is flowing back out to sea. Tides are created by the horizontal flow of water. It's just going back and forth. One of the reasons, like I like going to the beach because it's peaceful, but when you go with little kids, one of the reasons I don't like going to the beach because I see somebody out enjoying the Jane or little, I see them out in the water and they'll be right in front of me. Then the next thing I know, they way down on the side of the beach and I have to say, y'all come back so that I can see you. They don't even know. They're just out there swimming. They have no point of reference for where they are. The water is just carrying them. That's how the tide of life works. And what the author is telling us in that first verse, if you're not careful to listen to the voice of the Lord, life will have you going back and forth. It's not an instantaneous thing where you just get swept out to sea. You don't even realize how far you are from the shore. And that's why Jesus is called a rock. That's why he's called the chief cornerstone, because he's solid. He's a point of reference, right? He doesn't shift like the sand. When we look at the beach, we see how the tides affect the sand, how it moves and it washes it away. Jesus is not moved by the tides of life. And if we not anchored to Jesus, it's easy for us to drift. It's easy for us to drift. And so the second verse of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 2:2, it says, for the message God delivered through angels has always, and my wife, she loves when she sees words like that, that's like I can see her brain underlining. Because she likes to point out when God says something is definitive. When it's always, it says that the message that God delivered through the angels has always stood firm. Can you say that about your friends? Can you say that about your family? Can you say that about your money? Can you say that about your health? Like, can you say that about anything other thing in the world besides God? He has always stood firm. The word has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every aspect of disobedience was punished. Right? So what makes us, third verse, so what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? So what the author is telling us, what God is telling us through his word is, if the word has always stood firm, what makes us think we can ignore the word and nothing is going to happen? What makes us think that we can go through life and not have an anchor? What makes us think that we can go through life and ignore the very thing that's keeping us solid, that's keeping us grounded? If we ignore it, God has to address it. Right? We spend a lot of time in chapter one. We spend a lot of time, and I'm saying that title over and over and over again, Jesus is God. That third verse tells us that God loved us enough to come down here and then make an announcement himself that I am the vine, I am the way, I am the chief cornerstone, that all scripture, all the prophets, all the angels testify of me, right? See, it's one thing if he would just send a messenger. See, it's one thing if it's just me. Because if you know me long enough, you know that I got faults. You seem like if you grew up with me, you know what I used to do when I was little. Right? You've seen the times that I made mistakes with my kids. And so you can believe the word that I preach to a certain extent, but you still realize that at the end of the day, I'm just a man. But God, right, the author is bringing out, he's stressing in these first three verses. God is stressing in these verses that I'm not just trying to get you to depend on the servant. I sent myself. I sent my son. He died. He was seen again by credible witnesses. He got up out the tomb, right? And then these witnesses, these men, these apostles, laid down their life. And then there were people to record my word and all that my son did. And this word has lasted for over 2,000 years. And the world will try to make you believe that it's been changed, that it's been tampered with. But ain't nobody tampered with the tides. Ain't nobody tampered with the sun and the moon and the wind, right? Ain't nobody tampered with your heartbeat. Right, and nobody tampered with all the things that he's created. And even that, his word, the Bible is one of the most credible books. This thing is so historically accurate. But they'll try to make you believe that it's not real. Right? Lord, I thank you. And the author is saying that if you're not careful, if you're not listening, you'll drift away. You'll drift away from the truth. Right? So in the third verse, right, he's saying, like, what makes us think we can escape if we ignore what Jesus himself came to deliver and then is also delivered by those who heard him speak? But more than that, in the fourth verse, it says God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chooses or whenever he chose. And I read that and I said, that's for somebody right now. One of the things that Pastor Carter used to tell me, she used to say, son, I feel sorry for you because the people's hearts are going to grow cold. Today we live in a time where so many people, y'all won't believe what I'm saying at face value. You want a miracle and you want a sign. And your heart is telling you, I won't believe until God does X, Y, and Z. God is not obligated to do anything for you. Amen. What he decides or what he chooses to do is up to him. If he never does anything else, he's already done enough. Now, whether you choose to receive what he's done or not is up to you. But I thank you because the author says, he says, God confirmed, the Holy Spirit said, God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chooses. Notice that it said gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. He says that I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. And this is one of the huge problems that some of us have. Right? Number one, you've not really accepted Jesus in your heart. Right? You really haven't. Because if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Right? You're going to lay down, like we were talking about, you're going to get that relationship right. If you really believe that he's God, you're going to get that relationship right. And nothing is going to be too much for you to give up for him. Amen. Right? Amen. So when you really accept him, the word says that he and his father will come and abide with you. Yes. Right? And then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So where you going, Pastor? Because I need y'all to understand that these signs, these wonders, these miracles, and these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. When you, how you gonna get a breakthrough when you resisting the power of the Holy Ghost? When the Holy Ghost tugging on you and telling you, straighten up, clean up, break out, do this, do that, and you resist it. And the reason you resist it, because you really hadn't received Jesus. Because if Jesus was really God to you, if he was really God to you, there would be nothing that you would be willing to give up. Your response would be, yes, Lord. Your response would be, yes, Lord. Not my will, but your will. Lord, I thank you. And so in verses 6 through 11, there is a comparison. I hope it's good to you. This is me. There is a comparison. So let's compare. Hebrews 2, 6 through 11. For in one place the scripture says, what are mere mortals? And this is in Psalms. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Right? What is the author saying? The author is saying, God, who are we that you should even be concerned about us? Think about the things that you've done in your life, all the mistakes that you've made. Right? Think about the wrongs that you have done to some people. When people wrong you, what do you want to do? You want to cut them off. You don't like, I'm not going to sit there and let somebody mistreat me. So when we mistreat God, right, who are we at that point to say, God, you should be concerned about us, that you should have us on your mind, that you should be concerned about our welfare. But guess what? Even though we don't deserve it, he does. So the author is saying, The author is saying, who are we that you should even think of us? Who is man that you should even care for us? But yet, for a little while, you made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. And you gave us authority over all things. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. I hope somebody get this. What you say? Okay, break it down, Pastor. What I'm saying is, even though you don't deserve it, God is willing to give you access to power that you should not have and authority that you should not have. He's willing to allow you to come into a relationship with him, be able to pray to him, pray over your children, shift environments on your job, call his name and make something move. He's allowing you to, like I was talking last Sunday, he, even though you don't deserve it, he will allow you to name drop, to pray, to have authority over situations, even though you don't deserve it. But the problem, right? So that's, he set Adam and Eve up for success. But the problem was sin. Right? God is saying, I will give you authority. I will give you authority. Only God can give you authority. Y'all understand? I could tell my armor bearer, go out there and just do whatever you want to do. He gonna get arrested. He gonna get arrested. Because I don't have the authority to do that. I don't have the authority to do that. But when God gives you authority, can't nobody stop it. Can't nobody stop it. Now, y'all can write that down and think that's good and leave out of here thinking, I got the authority to do whatever I want to. Make sure God the one giving it to you. Otherwise, you're going to go out there and get your head bust. Right? He says, I gave you, even though you don't deserve it, I give you all of these things. Right? Now it says, now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. How many of y'all actually believe that? That you actually have, because of your relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is God, you actually have authority. How many of y'all actually believe that? And if you believe it, why when the money get funny, our faith get funny? Why when family stuff start happening, yeah, all of a sudden we don't have the authority? Like, we want to have authority to make our dreams come true, right? Our desires come through. Like, we want to have authority for that. But when that tide come, when life start lifing, we start drifting. We start drifting from what was prophesied. We start drifting from what was promised. We start drifting from what the word says and who the word says we are. We start to drift. And it's because of sin. So now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. So what the author is saying is, because of sin, the authority that we're supposed to have, we ain't really seen this thing operate how we're supposed to operate. The church ain't really, right? We got churches on every corner, but when we go to the news right now, somebody got murdered, somebody got raped, somebody cheating, somebody lying, right? So what the author is saying is, we have not really, God gave us authority, but we really have seen this thing operate how it's supposed to operate. Because we're not operating in the spirit. We in constant war with our flesh because of sin. But if we ever get on one accord, oh, what God could do. All right, I did it. I know this me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have seen it. The only time that has ever been done, the only time that thing actually ever looked like it was supposed to look, was in the person of Jesus. Verse 9. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than angels. Notice that it said that Jesus was given the same position as us. He came in the flesh. He was given position a little lower than angels because he suffered death for us, right? He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. The only time we've ever seen somebody obedient to the point of death, to follow the will of the Father perfectly, was Jesus. And I need y'all to understand how important that is. When it says that he was made a little bit lower than angels.
Why that matter?
Why that matter, Pastor? Because he's God. Right? God the Father put his Son on equal standing with us. We sinners, he not. He left the throne. We got it out the literally, out the mud, the dirt. Adam came from the dirt. We not the same. But God said, I'm going to put my Son on the same playing field with you. Why? To be a perfect leader, fit to bring you to salvation, to be an example that yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be done. Yes, you can be obedient. Yes, you can be sacrificial. Yes, you can walk in power. Yes, you can walk on water. Yes, you can heal the sick. Yes, you can give sight to the blind.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. So, amen.
And when I say you don't want to go.
Glory, glory. Amen.
We have so much faith until we don't. That makes sense to somebody's brain. We got so much faith until we don't. You got to trust. And what make Jesus' faith, what makes his example so powerful, and this is the part that messes us up, that makes us drift, because we feel that God is not moving the way we want him to move. You got to read when Jesus was in the garden. Jesus wanted, he said, let this cup pass. Jesus wanted that thing to go another way. But at the end of the day, he said, not my will, your will. So you telling me if Jesus was praying for one thing to happen, but the Father said something else, does that mean Jesus went real? That his prayer don't work? See, sometimes we're praying, and then when God don't do what we want him to do, then it makes us doubt whether he's real or not. Let me say it this way. Stop always praying for what you want and pray for the will to be done. Pray for the will to be done. That's hard. That's hard to do because you want to pray. Lord, please do such and such for my son. Please do such and such for the person in the hospital. Please do such and such. But what if we train our brain? What if we allow the Spirit to actually take over? The Holy Ghost to actually take over. Do y'all understand that when the disciples asked Jesus, think about the brain going blank. Our Father who art in heaven. Lord's Prayer, thank you. They asked him, how are we supposed to pray? And he didn't say, start off with your mama, start off with your brother, then move down to your cousin. Then pray about your job. Then go to your finances. Then go to this thing that you want to see happen in the city. Think about it. Go back and read the Lord's Prayer. Right? That prayer basically says, Lord, keep me through the day. Give me this day, my day. Like, keep me through the day. Don't let me fall into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Not because I deserve it, but for your name's sake. So when they asked him a specific question, how am I supposed to pray? He gave them a specific answer, but we pray totally different. Lord, I thank you. Which brings me to verses. I'm going to 12 through 15. What did Jesus do? If Jesus is God, what did he do with all this authority that he was given? And this is why I say y'all can write down that little authority nugget if you want to. I want you to have faith. I want you to believe, right? But one of the problems is we often misuse what God has given us for our own means and for our own glory and not his glory. So let's look at what Jesus did with the authority. He was the only one that was able to get it right. What did he do with the authority that he was given? For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him that he is. I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood. The Son of Man also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. What you saying, Pastor? Break that down for us. Jesus said, I'm going to use all the authority that you have given me to make sure that people know the way to salvation. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to proclaim your name amongst my brothers and sisters. Right? That's what he's saying. I'm going to put my trust in you, Father. I'm going to put my trust in you. Me and all the children that you have given me. So Jesus is saying that everyone that belongs to him should trust in the Father completely. Completely. Right? He says, because we are flesh and blood. What I'm trying to say, what the Spirit is trying to say as I'm preaching through this book, through Hebrews, and like I say, I know that this is me. If you don't remember nothing else, remember that Jesus is God. Remember that Jesus is God. What I'm trying to say to you is that this man left his throne. He left his throne. Do you know one of the reasons that Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God is because they say, how could God die? They say, if he was God, how could he die? I just read it to you. I'm giving you a sword. I'm strengthening your faith. It says, for the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. Became, mean he was one thing, and he turned into something else. I feel like I'm wrestling right now in the spirit because I want somebody to understand, like, if you get a hold.
Yes.
If you get a hold to the fact that Jesus is God,
glory,
that he is not dead, that he is alive, that he is on the throne, that he is a perfect example, that he is a leader, that he walked this thing out for you, right? And that he has put himself, he is calling you a brother, like you his sister, like Jesus himself, God himself is calling you sis, is calling you bruh. And saying, I got you. You and I are in the Father. And that we can make something happen. And that you don't have to be afraid. Because it says in that 15th verse, because only in this way could he set free all who was living their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. I want y'all to understand at the end of the day, that's really what we are like. We live in the die. You can chase the money. You can chase all the stuff. Guess what? All the rich folks going to do what? They going to die. All the thing and all of it, like at a certain point, you think Elon Musk worried about his bills? At a certain point, you can have so much. It's not even about the money no more. It's about power. It's about trying to extend your life. It's about trying to stay alive, right? And the only way that you can really stay alive is through Jesus. It's through Jesus.
But what the world is demonstrating to us is if you like, it's trying. The world is trying to train us that if we have more, then our life is going to be better and it's going to be extended. But that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. If we have more, we'll be more comfortable, right? We'll be more healthy. We'll be more happy in our relationships. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you get more Jesus, if you get more God, it becomes the truth. Jesus came, that 15th verse says he came to set us free from the fear of dying. How many of y'all ready to go today? That's real right there. You ready? Like, you know that if I leave today, I'm going to be good. I've raised my children in the word in the way that they should go. They're going to be good. My husband has a relationship with the Lord. He going to be good. I done talked to my mama about all the stuff that I got going on and feeling in my heart and the unforgiveness. So I'm good in that respect. She know I love her. Even though we might not get along or talk like we should, I've made amends. Right? You're going to go 20 years on that job. They're going to feed you chicken, rice, and green beans at your retirement party. And you ain't going to see some of them folk for the rest of your life. But we spend so much time instead of the relationships that matter. And I got in my notes, but what else, Pastor? This is it right here. I'm gone. I'm done. The last three verses, 16-18. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Why is that important? Because Jesus left the throne. It's telling us it's telling us that he left his throne specifically for us. Abraham was called the father of faith. It's saying that he left so that others might believe, that they might be faithful. He left his throne so that we might trust, that we might walk in boldness, that we might walk in power, that we might walk in authority, right? And then it says, all right, he didn't come to help the angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect. It said every. He was made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. That high priest, that's a big part of what Hebrews talks about. So I need you to understand that the high priest was the only one. He was the only one that could go in the Holy of Holies. He was the only one that could make a sacrifice. Nobody else could go in the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And he had to do that every year. Right? So what this is telling us is that the only way that Jesus could make a once and for all sacrifice on that type of level for the sins of the whole world was he had to be like us. See, so, sometimes you got to realize that you and other people are not the same. We spend a lot of time trying to do what other people try to do. Y'all might try to do something that I try to do. You ain't going to be able to make it. You ain't gonna be able to make it. Or you looking on Instagram and TikTok, you trying to do what other people trying to do. You not built the same. So what Jesus did, we gotta understand that the earthly high priest, he wasn't built the same. He wasn't built the same. So when certain people do stuff, that thing carry more weight. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay if you don't start a little room church like this, a little five-fold church like that. It's okay. That might not be your calling. You might not be called to be the pastor of Mount Zion. That's okay. Or to be Mike Tower. That's okay. But you better do what you called to do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You better do what you called to do. Whether that's raise your children, drive the UPS truck, you better share the gospel while you're doing it. You better do what you're called to do. This was what Jesus was called to do. He was made just like us because he was trying to show us, like, I don't want you to have the excuse that, well, you God, so that's why you was able to do it. You Jesus, that's why you was able to do it. He left all that divinity, right? He left all of that to be like us, to say, now watch me do it. Watch me be persecuted. Watch me be beat. Watch my family in my hometown turn their back on me. Watch people spit on me. Watch people not listen to me. Watch me be poor. Watch me be on the run. Watch me have a stepfather, right? Because my real daddy, right? All that stuff. Watch me do it. Watch my mama get talked about, right? Watch out, look at all my descendants in my family history, and I got prostitutes and murderers and adulterers and all this family stuff. Like, watch me do it. Watch me be born in this, like, born in this sinful world, just like y'all born in this sinful world. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be faithful. Watch me do it. That's what this verse is saying. And that's why the 18th verse says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we get tested. He said, Jesus said, you know how many people I seen on their deathbed? And if I choose to say get up and walk, they're going to get up and walk. You know how many blind people I seen? You know how many people with diabetes I seen? You know how many hungry people I seen? You know how many widows I seen? How many orphans I seen? How many lame people that can't walk I've seen? Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Lord, I thank you. And so I close with, I'm done, Ethan. I close with my title. Please. Please don't drift. Jesus is God. I hope this word pierces you to your heart. Because it pierced me to my heart. I told my wife last night, I said, I need prayer. She hit me with her. I sent her a message some months ago. I say, say this somewhere in your phone for when I need it. Because this is what the Lord spoke to me. This is what he spoke to me. Say this somewhere in your phone for when I need it. And I thought she was going to text me back a message, and she shot that screenshot back to me. And it said, thus saith the Lord. And I said, she said, now she was like, now go on with your day. But I needed that reminder. Because sometimes I get so weary of feeling defeated. I get like Color Purple. I get tired of it. Is that Color Purple tired of being tired? I don't know. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. I can hear some black folk moving. I get tired of being tired. I like, I want to walk in purpose sometime. I want to walk in authority sometime and know that, like, that thing going to be all right because Jesus is God. Yeah. Don't drift. Don't drift. Don't drift away from the Lord. Amen.